Day and theme for actually for the month. And so you see, I will be preaching during this time. So I have my series already outlined. But whoever we are, whether we're just members of a church and or the pastor, whoever, a missionary, that ought to be our theme right there, what he just sang. It ought to be all about the Lord Jesus Christ. If it doesn't, if it's not, then there's something wrong. Amen. And we need to change it, because Jesus is what it's all about. I want you to turn in your Bibles, and I know we've had a long program this morning, but I want to have something maybe that will stick in your mind as you leave here today about the gospel, the G-O-S-P-E-L, the gospel itself. How would you define the word gospel? How would you define the word gospel? I don't know if any of you are old enough. I know I see a few bald heads and white hair. But years ago, there was a TV show called Johnny Carson late at night. Believe it or not, I could stay up that late at night and watch Johnny Carson. Well, Johnny Carson retired, believe it or not, finally. I think he was 27 or 28 years, something like that. The man that took his place was called Jay Leno. That's right. Jay Leno. And I enjoyed staying up watching Jay Leno. I thought he was a decent, more of a clean, respectable type program. So I started watching. One of the features on Jay Leno's late night show was what he called jaywalking. Y'all remember that? He would go out into the streets of New York, and he would just have a microphone, and he'd ask people questions, mainly about history or current events or something like that, just to see how much people knew about particular subjects. And I'm not going to read a whole list. I did look up several, but I'm just going to use one of them that I thought was one of my favorites. He went out on the street, and he's got a microphone, just people passing by, no rehearsal for this or nothing, and he was putting a microphone up to him, and he would ask them this question. In Washington, D.C., what does the D.C. stand for? Don't say it now. I know y'all are all Harvard graduates, so you know. He would ask them that. Washington, D.C., what does the D.C. stand for? They came up with all kinds of nonsense of what the D.C. might stand for. He went with 7, 8 different people. Nobody got it right. But the best one was, that was my favorite, was wrong, but it was one of my favorites. He said, Washington, D.C., you heard of it? Yep. He said, what does the D.C. stand for? This man scratched his head and he said, the Capitol. Works for me. How about you? The Capitol. So if anybody ever asks you, it's the Capitol. That's what it stands for. What if you were asked the definition of the word gospel? Now, let me quote somebody else, and I had it written out. I keep it in my Bible, but I'm not going to read all of it. There was a philosopher some years ago. He was not even Christian, not a Christian philosopher. In fact, he was pagan, let's just say it that way. But it was a couple of hundred years ago when he lived. And somehow he had been exposed to the gospel. He had been exposed to Christianity. He was well known. He was a writer. So one day, somebody asked him what he thought about Christianity and the claims of Christ, of salvation, of eternal life, and all of that. And this is what this pagan philosopher said in so many words, in paraphrase. This is what he said. Most people are so sensitive to little things, but insensitive and ignore the greatest things. You think about that. Most of us focus and concentrate on little things. We're sensitive to those things. But he said, the most important things we're not even sensitive to, and we ignore the greater things, those most important things. And he goes on to explain what he's saying. He said, I have heard the claims of Christianity. I've heard the claims of salvation, forgiveness of sins. I've heard the claims of the life of Christ. I've heard the claims of eternal life. He said, I've heard all of that. But here is my, he said, but here is my conclusion. If you actually believe that, if you really believed it, if anybody even thought there was a slight possibility of it being true, a slight possibility, any modicum of possibility, if you really thought that it was true, that without Christ you would go to hell, then you would spend your entire life finding out the truth. Before you would go to bed at night, you would be, it would be on your heart. It would be on your mind because you really do believe it. And he said, and the second thing, if you really believe it, you would tell somebody. You would want to share what you found is the truth. Well, that's what the gospel is all about. Paul the Apostle never made a trip to the city of Colossae. He never was there. But he is writing this letter to them because he has found out, he has heard that they had received Christ, and a man by the name of Epaphras is their leader, and he is trying to lead them in the way of Jesus Christ because they're now Christians. So he is writing a letter. And in this, he will spell out for us G-O-S-P-E-L. He will spell out the gospel. Not in Greek, not even in Hebrew, but I'm going to make it that acrostic so we can just focus on it this morning. What is the definition of just simply the good old gospel? If somebody asks you, well, that was a gospel song. What does the word gospel mean? That was a good gospel preacher. What did he preach on? I heard a gospel on the radio, on the TV. What does it mean? Paul describes it very good for us. If you look down, beginning in verse 3, I'm just going to read through it real quickly. In verse 3, now we give thanks to the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. In verse 7, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. He uses the word gospel, if you're looking at it, in verse 5. So the first letter in gospel is G. What does G stand for? Let's take the word. The word interpreted means good news. It means exciting news. The G in gospel is, it is good news, first of all. Anybody got any bad news this past year? Got any bad circumstances in the last couple of years? Did you get some bad news in the mail, or somebody told you something, or a friend betrayed you? You got some bad news? Is anybody going to be able to go through our lives anywhere that there's not going to be some bad news once in a while? When God sent Jesus to the earth, he said, I want him to hear good news. I want you to proclaim good news. What's the good news? The good news is you can be saved. You can receive Christ. You can be forgiven of your sins. You can have eternal life. Is that good news? I think so. I believe so. I believe when you think about it and absorb it, you're going to shout for glory because it is the best news that you will ever have. Did anybody in your family, your parents, your grandparents, somebody, were you there when the baby was born? Did somebody shout? that somebody said it's great news. The baby's fine, mama's fine. What good news. You got that job that you wanted? That was great news. All of that is good, but there's nothing as good as knowing Christ is your Savior. That word gospel just simply means the best news that you will ever hear. That when you die and you leave this earth, that you can go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The word gospel, G, is G, stands for good news. What about the letter O? Notice what he says here. In verse 5, he says, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world. The O stands for what? It's open to anyone. It's open. It's available to anyone. There are very few things in all the world that are open and available to everyone. Because of class distinction, because of gender, because of race, because of tribe, because of your status in life, it's not open to you. The gospel is open to everyone. Salvation is universal. It is open to everyone who will come. The most famous verse of all, you may not know what the gospel definition is, but I bet everybody in here can quote John 3:16. For God so loved, did he say, for God so loved white people? For God so loved the Arabians? For God so loved the Jewish people? For God so loved the millionaires? Boy, that'd be a stretch, wouldn't it? For God so loved politicians, he sent Jesus to save them. Lord, they need to be saved, don't they? Amen. For God so loved the world that, what? Those over 18? For God so loved the world that those that are male? No. Those that are veterans? No. For God so loved the world that whosoever comes. So it's open to all. I love this next letter, the letter S, and it's right down there. You probably just didn't notice it because I spelled it a little bit different. He said, laid up in heaven, of which you have heard before in the word of the truth. The truth. You say, well, what does that mean? S means it is sure. Sure, and it is secure. It is sure. And it is secure. What does all that mean? I could come across many religions today. I have studied them, many of you have. Go across many so-called churches, and let me tell you what all of them are outside of Christ Jesus. You know what they are? They're not sure. They're guesses. They're man's formulation. They're man's programs. They're man's effort to reach righteousness with God. But in the gospel, G-O-S, that S is the truth, not a guess. That is, S is secure, it is sure. In other words, you and I can rely upon it. Anybody got a dollar bill? Sure, I bet you got a couple of them. Used to on the old one somewhere under there, it says guaranteed, it says security, it says guaranteed. This dollar bill, this note, whatever it is, it's guaranteed to be exchanged for, well, a whole dollar now be what, 3 cents, right? What it's worth. People get aggravated at me when I'm at a cash register and I get some change and I look down there and there might be a penny or a nickel or something. I say, hold on just a minute. And I look at it. And I have had them actually say this because I pick it up and I'm looking at it and there's a nickel there and I'm looking to see the date on it. And I'm looking to see the date. One of the cashiers said, it's a nickel. It's a nickel. I know you're old. You can't see it. It's a nickel. I said, I know that. I want to see if it's worth anything. Why? A nickel's maybe worth a penny and a half. A dime is worth somewhere around 3 cents. If you go to a quarter, it's probably worth about 7 cents. But now if you've got one that goes back to certain years where it was silver, how much is the price of silver today? Somebody say it. $33 an ounce. I live with If it, yeah, my wife said it, she knows. $33 an ounce, 35, 30, it fluctuates a little bit. When you trust the gospel, it's sure, it's secure. You don't have to look to see what it's worth. It's worth everything. The next letter is the letter P. Look down here to what he says. Which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit as it is among you since the day you heard about it. It is brought forth fruit. The word is productive. The gospel is productive. What does that mean? God has chosen to produce fruit through every child of God. You were not saved to sit on it. You and I have been saved to produce the works of God, the gifts of God, the attitude, the character of Jesus Christ. That's productive. In our backyard, and I'll tell this on my wife, because I'm sure she won't mind it, and 40-something years of ministry, she's used to being picked on, so you can go ahead and pick on her, she's used to it. We were in our backyard the other day. Anybody having to water your grass or water your flowers? Or you, yeah, y'all nodding. So you know what it's like. Well, we'd spent all morning, early in the morning. I mean, we're up at 4:30, 5 o'clock before it gets hot. We're trying to water stuff. Finally, we was taking a break, sitting on a patio on the back, and we still got a backyard back there. And she said, don't forget to water the pear tree. I said, oh, okay. And she did like this, don't forget to water the pear tree. I said, okay. I said, which one is it? You remember that? I said, which one is it? Now, we've had a pear tree for 20 years. She said, look for the one that's got pears on it. Pears. No sense. Doesn't make any sense to me. Look for the one that's got pears on it. I said, it's over there. She said, that's it. Head towards that one. That one's it. When you get up close to it, it's got little pears right here. Have you got a pear tree? They're all about it already, about the size of a golf ball. She said, it's got pears all over it. Go to the bottom of it, pour water there. Spray the sprinkler up on the leaf. Water it. You know a pear tree when you see pears. How do you know an apple tree? Apple. My neighbor's yard over there, I love it. He's got figs, and they're about the size of your thumb right now. I was over there the other day. How do you know it's a fig tree? How do you know that person is a child of God? Paul says, you're producing fruit. That's how we know. What's the fruit? The fruit of Christ. Paul said, if you go back over to Ephesians, Paul says it plainly like this. He said, if it's hard for you to know what to do as a Christian, Paul was bold enough to say this in Ephesians 1, I think 28, verse 28. He said, imitate me because I'm imitating Christ. Just watch me do what I do, and you'll be doing what Christ does because I'm producing fruit. The gospel is productive. G-O-S-P-E and then L. E, I want to show you right here. The last part of verse 6. He says, you heard it and you knew the grace of God in truth. The essence, the E, the essence of the gospel is God's grace. God's grace. Do you know what grace is? There's another word that we could try to define. The essence of the gospel is this. We spend, and lost people spend so much of their lives wanting to find out what God wants them to do to be saved. When the whole thing is, it's already been done. He has already done it. Paul says again in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, You and I have quoted it most of our lives. For by grace are you saved. Amen. It's not the works that you think you're doing that's going to save you. He said, it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Then he adds this little line. The gift of God is Jesus Christ. It is given to us. It is not to be, here's the other E, essence. It's earned, it's not earned. The essence of God, the gospel is grace. He has already given it to us. Well, I know you're anxious to look at the last one. What's the L stand for? Look at verse 7. And you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ. How did they come to know Christ? Epaphras, this man, lived, L, there's your L, lived out the gospel. Because he knew Christ as his Savior, he could lead others by example. And they followed him. The Bible says you learned it from Ephesus because he was a faithful minister of Jesus Christ. Now, one quick illustration. Have you ever seen a map of the Holy Land? If you look at the Holy Land, we call the nation of Israel. If you look up at the top, way up above in the north, there's Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon, the snows are up there right now. It can be June, July, August. Mount Hermon's got snow on top of it. That snow melts and it trickles down the sides of that mountain. It comes down and it forms what's known now as the Jordan River. The Jordan River's waters come from up there. Flows all the way through the nation of Israel. I've been there. Many other people. Carolyn Snuggs has been there. You go out there and you actually can drink from that water. It is clean. I don't, but they say you can. But it is clear, cold water all the way through Israel. If you look right towards the middle of the nation of Israel, you'll see this big round circle called the Dead Sea. You know why it's called dead? Because all of that beautiful water runs into the Dead Sea and dies. Has nowhere to go. There is no outlet from the Dead Sea. You can go and get on the waters. It's so salty there, the Dead Sea. You can just lay back on the water and you'll float. I guess even a 300-pound man or woman could float. And tourists will do that. Go down, take a handful, and it's salty. Everything comes into it, dies. I'm asking you today, don't let the gospel of Jesus Christ come into you and die. Because if you're not bearing fruit, if you're not living it out, it's dying in you. You may be the only person the lost person will ever hear or see. And if you don't share the gospel, that beautiful water of life that Jesus gave you died inside of you. It stopped right there. That's a good definition of the gospel that Paul gave us. Let me end with one positive thing. One of my favorite days of the year is Christmas. Another one is Easter. Another one is, and I'd better say it, my anniversary, my wife's birthday. Those are all favorite days, honey. Those are favorite days. Another favorite day is coming up this Thursday. What is it? D-Day. D-Day. My family knows that. D-Day. On D-Day, June 6, 1944, 153,000 troops hit the beaches of Normandy. Before the day would be over, 10,000 of them would die. They gave their lives to provide one thing for Europe. What is it? Freedom. Liberty. To free the people from the tyranny of Nazism. They gave their lives. Can you now extrapolate that into what Jesus did? The one who really should never have died the one who had no reason to die except for the love of God in him, and he went to the cross. He gave his life so you and I can live. Celebrate liberty in Jesus and freedom to live a life. We don't have to worry about the real definition of the gospel. If you've experienced it, you know what it really is. It's Christ living in you, as Paul said, the hope of all glory. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, if there's someone that you've spoken to today through your word, we pray, Lord, that today would be the day they would begin to understand the real definition of the gospel, of what you really accomplished, what your aim and your goal was through the person of Christ. Thank you for his willingness, sacrifice, to go to the cross to die for us, for the liberty, the freedom, the forgiveness that he provided. And we pray, Lord, if the rest of us here today, we've made our decision for Christ and now, but you've pointed out the fact that without the outflow of the gospel, then the gospel just dies in us, because we're not sharing it. We're not bearing fruit as we should. We pray that you would convict our hearts about where we stand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.